radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 51. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
God will hear us according to His mercy, and according to His loving kindness, according to His multitude of His tender mercy. Now, those two words are very important because the first one is according to His loving kindness. That is a Hebrew word, hesed. And that word has the idea of a one-sided love commitment that God has to us. When Abraham was told that he was going to be given a covenant with God, it's called the Abrahamic covenant, he was told to take a bunch of animals and cut them in half and put one half over on one side, over against the other side. This was common in those days. It was called cutting a covenant. They would cut the covenant by cutting these animals up, taking one another by the hand, and making this covenant by walking through the midst of those pieces of animal. And that is what's connected to this word hesed. Because what God did was when He cut a covenant with Abraham, He caused a deep sleep to come on Abraham while He was trying to keep the birds away from these pieces of the animals. And God came down and said, I promise you that you're going to have this land. I promise you that you are going to be the father of many nations. I promise you, I promise you. And the Abrahamic covenant was cut, and God Himself came down and went through the midst of those pieces. That's what He's saying, according to that kind of covenant. God, You made a covenant with my father, Abraham, and according to that, I want to ask You to draw near to me right now. Now, I want you to know this is not for nothing. God really does love us that much, that He was willing to cut a covenant wherein He laid the burden of its success upon Himself. The Israelites from the time of Abraham until the time of the Exodus were a people who were constantly apostatizing. I'm telling you, man, you go through the book of Judges and you see it afterwards. They keep going back. Even after the great miracles, they go into it again for another 400 years. These people were constantly turning to the left and to the right. And God had laid the guarantee of that covenant with Abraham upon Himself. And that's why we know Israel has a future. That's why we know the tribulation is getting them back on board. That's why we know that God loves His people, even though a blindness in part has happened to Israel at the present time. He says also, according unto thy tender mercies. And when He talks about tender mercies, that word means womb. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom. You see that? Born again, born again. You know, we are related, if we're children of God here today, we're related by two things, blood and by birth. We were newborn in Christ. When we got saved, Jesus saved us by giving us a new birth. And you know where He bore us? He bore us on the cross. The Bible says He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And He brought us forth. And it was not without a great deal of travail, was it? Cat of nine tails, bone and metal in each strand of the whip, the ripping of His flesh, the punching of His face, the ripping out of His beard. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. He took our judgment and He died on that cross to save us. And when He saved us, we became born again children of God. We got a brand new life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. Isn't that good to know? Because what God did is He did everything necessary to make it possible for you and me to get home. Get back on the right track. We were estranged from our mother's womb, and yet He sent forth His Spirit into the world, convicting the world, and so bringing us to Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So He says, I want you to have mercy upon me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, according to that motherly womb kind of compassion that comes, you know. I don't care how bad a kid gets. A mother's love just can't see anything but their little boy when he was a little kid and that love they have for that child. They can disappoint and they can humiliate, and sometimes mothers will even still find themselves longing for something more for their child, even if it seems like it's completely out of control. Now, I say to you, this psalm is for moms who might worry about their children, because they can tell their kids they can get back too. It's important for us to have these words at the ready, isn't it? Verse 1 goes on to say, have mercy upon me, O God. And after according, He says, blot out my transgression. Now, when you think about blotting out something, you maybe might not kind of get your mind around exactly what's going on here. But this is a word that was used in a few places in the Old Testament. One of the things I would say to you is that it was used when Moses had gone up and gotten the Ten Commandments. You remember, right? There he was getting the Ten Commandments, and they were making a golden calf down in the valley. And they were worshiping a golden calf, saying, "Hear, O Israel, are your gods. Behold, Jehovah." And they were calling a calf Jehovah. They had just seen plague after plague after plague, and they're making their earrings into a golden calf. And then they rose up, and they got into sexual immorality right there at the foot of the mountain where the law was given. That's what happened right there, man. They saw everything going on in Egypt, and when they got out of Egypt, first thing they did is said, "I'm going to do that too. Now that I'm free, I'm going to do whatever I want to do." And God brought a plague up against them. Well, when Moses found out about this, the Bible says in Exodus 32:32, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin..." And he doesn't know what to say. "How can I even ask you to forgive their sins?" And he says, "Well, if not, blot me out of your book." Do you know what that is? That's the most godly disposition a person can attain unto. Paul said himself, "I could wish that I myself were accursed for my people Israel, that they might be saved." Now, when you and I get to the place where we're touching the hem of Jesus' garment, we will understand that very sentiment. Moses understood it. Paul understood it. Jesus, listen, Jesus did it. He became a curse for us. The Bible says, "If not, blot me out of thy book that thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." He says, when I come down there, there's going to be some fur flying. Now, you want to talk about people thinking they can go on and do whatever they want. David understands blotting out was a big deal. Moses had used these sentiments. And now we have David asking him to blot out his sin. And it has the idea of putting a smoke screen over it to the point where you can't see. Not only is smoke something that darkens things, it also makes your eyes burn. You don't want to look at it anymore. You know what Jesus did? He went on that cross to blot out my sins. Okay? And I'm just so grateful that that's true. And the sin that I've committed, any sins you've committed, Jesus paid it all. And that has to be understood. On the cross, when he died, he said, "It is finished." The Greek word is tetelestai. It means paid in full. It's like slamming down a stamp. Paid in full. And some of you have had big debts that you found yourself working toward. When you got that final paper and it was paid in full, it felt good. He worked hard to get that thing done. I want you to know Jesus worked hard to pay for our sin. Our salvation is free, but it was not cheap. And we do not want to disparage the cross by saying we'll do as we please. He says, "Blot out my transgressions. Wash me," verse 2, "thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." You might circle the word acknowledge. The word acknowledge means literally, I know it. I know what it is I've done. So when I talk to you about getting clean, I want you to understand, you don't get clean just by wishing upon a star. You got to go touch it. What do I want clean? My daughter once was riding her bicycle. She was right at that age where we were able to say, "Yeah, you can go ride your bike down along a busy street." And we were worried for her, but, you know, we thought, well, she's mature enough. She got her bicycle. She went down. We had a little bed of railroad tracks, right? Yeah, probably a block away from our road. She went out to the main road, went down about a block, and she hit those railroad tracks, and they threw her down into the stones. Now, if you know much about railroad tracks, and many of you probably remember the day when they were more in our way as kids playing, there's a lot of creosote and stuff down there. And when she fell, she not only tore herself up a little bit on her knee and her shoulder and her arm, but she also shoved it into the wounds of the scrapes, and then there was creosote. She had to come home, and she said, "I will not cry." And she came all the way home pushing her bicycle, and she did not cry until she saw us. Now, that's the way it's going to be with your sin. You may not cry. You may be pretty tough. But the moment you ask God to lean in, there's going to be a little quiver around the edge of the lip if you've got something in your heart that you need to get rid of in there. You see, America right now is in big trouble, and it's in big trouble because the church is in big trouble. I believe that, and I believe there's a lot of us that need to really get serious with God. I think the National Day of Prayer is a good occasion to do that, and I think what we need to do is really ask God, come in and look at my wound. He said, wash me thoroughly. I had to wash her wound, and it hurt. And though her tears were there for having shown and how bad it hurt, and she couldn't show until she saw it, I want you to know that when I was cleaning that wound, yes, there were tears, but there was also happiness that somebody was tending to that. Aren't you glad when somebody can tend to that, right? It doesn't have to infect and lose your arm, whatever. You don't have to lose your arm. You can get it right. The Bible says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin because I've acknowledged my transgressions. I know them. I've looked them in the eye. I know what I did. Now, if you look at the word sin, transgressions, and iniquity, think about this. Those are words that are very general. They're general words. God, forgive my sins. God, forgive my iniquity. God, forgive my transgression. But it is down in verse 14. He says, blood guiltiness. He says, I've committed murder here. And you know what he did? He doesn't really just take it and say, you know, murder of Uriah is the only thing I have to answer for. If you understand anything about the heart of God, from the very earliest days, Cain and Abel had a problem with each other. Remember that? Cain killed Abel because he was jealous of his walk with the Lord. And the Bible says when God came and found Cain, he said, where's your brother? God never asks questions for information. He already knows. He asks questions for conviction. Where is your brother? Cain should have fallen down right now and said, I killed him. And I don't know what to do with what I'm feeling right now. This had never been done before. I killed him. But he didn't. He said, am I my brother's keeper? God did not even dignify that with an answer. And he put a mark on Cain, and the rest is history. But the takeaway is this. You are your brother's keeper. You're responsible for me. And I'm responsible for you. Your wife's keeper. You're your husband's keeper. You're your children's keeper. You're your next door neighbor's keeper. The thing that keeps us between the navigational beacons on this road called life is the fact that I have to take care of everybody around me. I have to be careful not to do something stupid that will solicit them to do something stupid, which will in turn solicit someone else. You see, when David had pronounced a judgment under Nathan's parable, he said, the man who did the thing in the parable will pay back fivefold for what he has done. And when he himself was confronted and realized it was him, the Bible says that Nathan immediately, when he had said, I have sinned, he said, nevertheless, the Lord has put away your sin. Another mitigating reality, why can I go to God? Because he said he did that.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.